A vast spacescape of twinkling stars, planet Earth gently revolves. Two pale rings form across it, plus, in gold lettering, Universal, an MCA company. Hot amber and yellow titles against a black background. Universal Pictures presents an Interscope Communications Badham Cohen production. Mel Gibson, Goldie Hawn, Bird on a Wire. A metal door opens, revealing another barred door behind it. A pair of bare feet walk across the grey brick floor. David Carradine, Bill Duke, Stephen Tobolowsky, Joan Severance, Harry Caesar, Jeff Corey. A sleek black Corvette with New York plates motors along a tree-lined road. The barefooted figure wears baggy trousers and stops when he reaches some stone steps. The Corvette pulls off the road and onto a patch of pebbly ground with several large puddles on it. The driver's window slides open and a burly, shaven-headed guy wearing sunglasses and a grey suit looks out at a large, forbidding, castle-like building. A barred door swings open, and a scruffy-looking guy in his 50s steps out. He has long, shaggy grey hair and wears brown trousers and a loose suede jacket over his bare torso. A guard closes the barred door behind the man, who walks away from the building, then turns and gives the finger to a stone sign reading, United States Penitentiary, Huddleline, Pennsylvania. The guy in the Corvette chuckles. The shaggy-haired guy trots down a flight of stairs and makes a theatrical gesture to the other guy, then gets in the passenger seat of the Corvette. The driver grins at him.
My good brother.
They clasp hands.
That's it? No suitcase, huh?
Let's just get out of here.
Don't smoke in the car.
The scruffy guy rolls his eyes and takes a cigarette out of his mouth. The Corvette drives off. New York City. Yellow cabs arrive and depart outside a large, elegant hotel. A pale blue limo pulls up, and a doorman opens the back door for a blonde woman in her 30s.
Afternoon, Miss Gray.
Hello.
Welcome.
A steel band are playing outside, and the woman enters the restaurant.
Thank you. Oh, nice to see you. Did you know I'm expecting you?
Thank you.
Should I take a call?
No, thanks. I'm not seeing you. Brad,
yeah.
Dex, sorry I can't stay for lunch. I have to fill in for one of the partners at a board meeting in Detroit. This won't take long. Nothing for me, thank you. No, maybe I'll have a Diet Coke. No, make that Evian water, please. No, I'll have San Pellegrino water, no ice. You got it?
Got it.
Here's the deal. There's no deal. My client balked.
What do you mean your client balked?
I tried to sell it to her. She wouldn't go for it. She thinks her company's worth more.
She thinks or you think?
Who wants it? That looks interesting. Is that smoked chicken?
Just tell us what you want, Marianne. And don't say...
Smoked chicken? I gotta make a phone call.
Hey, it's just us here. What are you looking for?
I'm looking for a world of fair play where the corporate big guys don't always get their way.
Still beating up on your ex-husband?
Ooh. You're gonna pay for that one.
Who's her husband?
Me and my big mouth.
Hey, Pookie!
Don't call me Pookie.
Sorry, I just meant to be affectionate. What's the matter, babe?
Nothing. I'm just in the middle of a business meeting and I don't have a lot of time, but...
Do you remember when you said you wanted to have sex with me in some weird place? How about Detroit?
Too kinky. Anyway, I'm socked in. They're installing my big screen on Sunday, and I got the Mile High Mall presentation in Denver next week.
What am I going to do by myself in Detroit all week?
Oh, buy a Chevy. Prove you're American.
I don't love you and I won't miss you.
Yeah, sure. Just call me when you get there, huh?
Bye.
Marianne hangs up the phone. A helicopter flies over a large estate, which is decorated with pink balloons. The main gate is guarded by a man in a pig costume who carries an Uzi machine pistol. A juggler and balloon modeler are also there to greet guests. Atlantic City, New Jersey. The Corvette drives up to the gate. A guy in a suit walks over and leans down to the newly released prisoner, who's now had a haircut and change of clothes.
Mr. Sorensen and Mr. Diggs.
Mr. Sorensen, Mr. Diggs, go right in and enjoy the flight.
The Corvette drives into the estate. A juggler, clown and various men in animal costumes are by the pool watching a group of children singing. Sorensen, the released prisoner who now wears a baggy grey suit and open-necked black shirt, watches from a balcony, then steps over to a window and watches the driver, who's in discussion with some other men.
Thank you very much. It will be taken care of. It's my pleasure.
Sorensen and the driver walk down steps.
Well, what happened, boss? They go for it? They're crazy knocking. Well, what do these Colombians want? It's foolproof. We got all the customs agents. We got the border guards. Everything's in place.
We got a little problem. A cloud over us. The cartel's made an offer of $50 million. They'll keep it on the table for 30 days. If we can make this little problem go away.
Jarman. You know about Jarman, right?
It's time to finish it. We gotta find him and take him out.
Easier said than done.
We'll do it ourselves this time. Make sure it gets done right. Lovely day. But we have a little cloud to blow away.
Detroit, Michigan. A bus drives along a dark, rain-washed city street. It passes a garage with a neon sign outside reading Marvin's Motown Motors. Inside, an old guy in overalls shakes the rain off his baseball cap and calls over to a guy working underneath a car.
Closing down, Billy Ray. Nobody driving in this bad weather tonight. Why don't you give up on that tank? Come on over to the house for dinner. It was no good you being alone so much, Billy. And in time, 3 months, you haven't made one friend. At least none that I've seen. Why don't you wash up and come over to the house to meet the witches tonight? Hear me, Billy Ray? Oh, turn down this radio. Billy Ray, you going to sleep under there?
The car falls off its jack and Marvin tries to lift it. Marvin tries to use the jack, but the handle snaps off, so he grabs the legs and pulls. The legs are false and Marvin goes flying, while a dark-haired guy stands up in hysterics.
There's something wrong with your brain, boy.
I'm sorry, babe.
I gotta do something to break up the monotony around here, you know?
Oh, you're bored, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm bored as hell. Oh, don't take it personal, Marvin. I mean, hell, I'm just a restless guy. It's the kind of guy I am. That's why I travel around so much like that. No, dear. Yeah, I guess I get it from my daddy, you know. Did I ever tell you he's a traveling salesman? He sold hairbrushes in Kentucky.
Thought you said your dad raised hogs in Tennessee.
Well, he raised hogs and he sold hairbrushes.
Oh, you bullshit at the drop of a hat, won't you?
Well, you can't say you never pulled anybody's leg before. I'll get it. Marvin, thank you for that dinner invitation.
Billy Ray runs outside and knocks on the window of Marianne's car.
Can I help you, ma'am?
Unleaded.
All right.
Billy Ray, wearing a Macintosh, puts the fuel nozzle into Marianne's car.
Hey, is that WJB on the radio?
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's what it is, all right. That's the 60s station. Hell, I listen to that one all day. You know what they say about the 60s, don't you? If you can remember them, you wasn't there.
Something seems to register with Marianne.
Hey, you want me to check under the hood, ma'am?
No, it's rented.
You come to Detroit and you rent a Beamer? That's like going to Germany and eating Jimmy Dean sausages.
They clock each other and Billy Ray turns away.
You know, in Tennessee, where I was born and raised, I never did see cars like this. I was 22 years old before I even know the foreigners made cars.
Are you from Tennessee?
Yes, ma'am. I'm a Southern boy.
What's your name?
Billy Ray. Named after both the scoundrels my mama thought might have been my daddy.
Marianne watches him dubiously.
Is that cash or card, ma'am? Ma'am?
Rick?
Beg your pardon?
He obscures his face with his hand.
Will MasterCard do?
Be just fine.
Marianne gets out of the car and goes over to Billy Ray.
You know, you remind me of someone a lot.
I do?
Yeah, a boy, a man. Named Rick Jarman, whose plane went down in the mountains in Mexico 15 years ago.
I never went to Mexico, you know, man, but I always
wanted
to.
You laughed like him.
Well, I didn't mean to.
You look like him.
I don't know what to tell you, ma'am. Here, you want to sign that?
Marianne gazes at rugged, handsome Billy Ray, who points at the sales slip.
Well, you have a nice day, then.
Billy Ray?
Ma'am?
Do you have a tattoo?
A tattoo? No.
Marianne follows him over to the garage.
Your upper right arm, Dove?
No, I don't have a tattoo.
I'm not leaving till you show me.
I hope nobody's looking. There, satisfied?
Right arm.
He shows his arm, which has a red mark on it.
I got some shrapnel there. I took that in Vietnam. It's all down the right side. You want to see it?
I'm sorry. My friend would have never been in that war.
Meaning what?
She turns away.
Oh. He was very much against killing.
Billy raised on the phone to the Department of Justice.
I'd like to help you, sir, but all I know is that Officer Barrett is retired and his cases are being referred to other officers in the department.
Hey, that's not possible. He would not have retired without at least telling me. I mean, he's been handling my case for the last 15 years.
If you would just give me your current name and ID number, I can put you in touch with your new case officer.
Look, with all due respect, lady, I don't know who the hell you are. And if I give you my name and ID number, you're going to know everything from my rising sign to the color of my jockey shorts.
Hold, please.
Now, hang on. Damn it. Hello?
Excuse me, guys. Yeah?
That call you've been waiting for?
Mm-hmm.
He's on the line. He won't give me his current name or location. He's demanding to talk to Lou Baird.
Mm-hmm. Rick? Hey, boy, how you doing? This is Joe Wayburn. You remember me? I set you up at that one-hour photo lab in Cleveland. What, 1978, was it? No, wait. No, it was 1979.
I don't remember you.
Joe gets on a computer.
Well, you know us FBI guys. We all look alike.
Joe calls up data, which includes a mugshot of Billy Ray with a long, droopy moustache above the name Richard Jarman.
Whoa. Well, you are one rolling stone, aren't you? Where are you now, Rick?
Where's Lou? Why did he retire? He would have told me he was retiring. Why didn't he do that?
Well, to tell you the truth, Rick, he lost you.
He lost me?
Yeah. That's why we put him out to pasture. That's why I'm on the case.
Where is he? Where did he retire to?
Come on, where did he retire to?
Look, he once gave me a number. It was his sister's place in St. Louis. He used to go there on vacations. Is that where he is? Am I getting warm?
Look, he's out of the picture, Rick. Now, what is it? Are you in some kind of trouble?
No. No, not at all. Where's Sorensen?
Joe calls up Sorensen's data.
Still safely in jail as far as I know. Yeah, here he is. Well, you got nothing to be worried about. He's never getting out of there, boy.
Yeah, what about his partner?
Diggs.
Yeah.
Sorensen's data flash is released on parole.
Unless he's made another pass at you, he's probably got his drug money living the good life in South America somewhere.
We have no idea where he is.
Oh, that's a relief.
So what is it, pal?
Relocation time?
Yeah, I guess. Where the hell can you put me?
Where are you now? And what name are you using, Rick?
Come on, buddy. I'm just trying to do my job here.
Bowers, Billy Ray. I live above Marvin's Motown Motors, 1840.
Canoga Street, Detroit. Did you get that? Because I'm not repeating it.
Somebody came in and recognized me today, and I want to get the hell out of here before they come back.
Joe saves the current location details to disk.
Right. 2 days, Rick.
2 days?
Yeah.
Boy. 2 days, you just hang on, and we'll have somebody come on in and get you.
Okay, I'll be hanging.
Billy Ray, a.k.a. Rick, hangs up the phone and slides down to the floor with his back against a car. Joe types a command on the computer, erase file. The computer asks if he's sure, and Joe clicks yes, erasing all Rick's details from the computer. Balding 30-something Joe stuffs the disk he saved into his jacket pocket, then wipes his hand across his mouth and makes a phone call. Marianne's attending a high-powered meeting in a huge office block.
dramatic drop in the second quarter foreign sales figures reflects not only the negative effect of the strengthening dollar, but a definite upsurge in competitive production in both the European and Asian markets. When you add this to the recent surcharge imposed by the EEC nations, it seems clear that to preserve the kind of profit margin our shareholders have come to expect, we most definitely have to make substantial cuts to our per unit production costs. While it is true that to some extent our rising costs will be defrayed by the recent acquisition of Coleman Shipping.
Marianne takes a strip of photo booth pictures out of her purse, showing her, Rick, and another young guy goofing off for the camera. She reminisces about the photos being taken and grins to herself. A younger Marianne, Rick, and the other guy ride a roller coaster in a fairground. Back on the ground, Rick and Marianne kiss, while their buddy grins and shakes his head. Marianne and the other guy ride on a Ferris wheel, while Rick walks on top of it. Marianne yells up at Rick.
You're freaking me out!
All those opposed? If Miss Graves will respond? Miss Graves?
Yes. No.
You are abstaining from the final vote?
Yes, no, I am not.
I see.
Marianne glances around awkwardly. Rick's working at the garage.
So she says to me, Marvin, you're not getting any younger. Well, think about that young man you got working for you and offer him a partnership. You don't have no sons, you know.
Well, heck, you ain't known me but 3 months. How do you know you can trust me to stick around or even keep my hand out of the till?
I got my eyes on you.
Well, hand is quicker than the eye.
Well, I'm going upstairs and get some sleep. See you in the morning. Think about the partnership, huh?
Marvin?
Rick shakes Marvin's hand.
See you in the morning.
Does that mean it's a deal?
Sure, we'll think about it.
Good night.
Marvin turns back to watch Rick singing and carrying an exhaust.
Before you call him a man.
Marvin chuckles and goes upstairs. Rick carries the exhaust down into a trench underneath a white Lincoln limousine. Marianne's black BMW hire car pulls up over the road from Marvin's Motown Motors. Marianne stares at the garage, then looks through a small pair of binoculars and watches Rick at work. The black Corvette pulls into the forecourt and Sorensen gets out, along with the driver, Diggs. Sorensen wears a long black coat and puts on a black Trilby hat.
Oh, yeah!
Rick looks over and sees the men outside.
Pumps is closed, sir!
Sorensen walks over.
Sir, pumps is closed. She won't be humming again until 6:30 a.m.
Billy Ray Bowers?
Sorensen holds one hand inside his coat, and Rick comes out.
Hey, y'all from Weyburn's office? Y'all got kind of an interesting accent there.
Oh, shit.
Then you always were kind of an actor, weren't you, Rick? You pretended to be my friend.
I never did.
And then you turned.
I never agreed to help you kill anybody.
Still a do-gooder, huh, Rick? My friend, Mr. Diggs, is kind of worried about that. See, I've already served my time, thanks to you. But he's still under indictment. And seeing as how you're the only living witness, I can put him behind bars.
What the hell's he got on you? You still his flunky?
What are you, some kind of hero? Hiding your ass in a grease pit for 15 years? I don't think they're going to put up any monuments for you.
A sawn-off shotgun.
That works.
Oh.
Marianne honks her horn, creating a diversion and allowing Rick to throw Sorensen into the trench. Marvin comes down.
Yeah, what the hell's going on,
man? Get the hell out of here, Marvin! Run for your damn life!
Rick dives out of the way of a shotgun blast from Diggs. Marvin tries to run back upstairs, but Sorensen shoots him from the trench. Rick dives into the little office and Marianne drives her BMW straight at Diggs. Diggs dodges out of the way and Marianne sweeps past him. Diggs reloads. Rick peers out of the office and Sorensen blasts at him. Rick dives over the Lincoln and scrambles inside.
Come on.
Rick speeds backwards in the Lincoln, smashing through the garage door. Sorensen shoots at Rick and Diggs shoots at Marianne. Rick reverses into the path of a lorry and is hit full on. Marianne reverses onto the road and Rick staggers out of the Lincoln with a pained expression on his face. He hobbles over to Marianne's BMW and tries to open the passenger door.
Let me in, will you?
Rick, is that you?
Yeah, it's me, Rick. Let me in, will you?
How do I know it's you?
It's me, Murphy. Open the damn door.
Sorensen and Diggs shoot but miss as Rick gets into the BMW.
Oh, what the hell are you doing here?
Me? What the hell are you doing here?
Being shot in the butt.
I saw you.
Yeah, I saw her too.
The fuel pumps explode in a huge fireball, throwing Diggs and Sorensen to the ground and demolishing Marvin's Motown Motors. Sorensen and Diggs scramble away.
Borrow your phone, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's
ice.
Fine.
I need plenty of ice.
Well, here, I'll get the ice. No, more I'll get the ice. You go to the room. It's the presidential suite.
Okay,
right down
okay,
here.
It's okay. If I use your phone?
I'll be there in a minute.
The man who chaired Marianne's meeting comes down the hotel corridor and presses the lift button, then spots Marianne leaning over the ice dispenser.
Miss Graves?
Mr. Takawaki.
Do little party?
Yes. Party for girls.
Maybe next time.
Maybe.
Mr. Takawaki watches Marianne go with a smile. She enters her suite.
Well, I don't care if they've left for the day, all right? No, I got to get through to them, and... 313-555-7000. Yeah, it's the presidential suite. Hello? Operator? Come on!
Rick?
What?
Are you all right?
Oh, God. I've been shot in the butt. Can you believe it?
Can I come in?
Well, I'm naked. Can you handle it?
Well, I handled it for a lot of years. I guess I can handle it now.
She joins him in the bathroom.
Oh, God. It's my lower back and my butt. I think the pellets passed straight through, but...
Vietnam.
Uh-huh. Hell no. I took the dub off with a sander.
No. I really am anxious to hear this story.
Oh, Marianne, I need some bandages. And some antibiotic and some antiseptic.
Get shot often, do you, Rick?
Oh, only twice before. Marianne, could you please help me? Could you look at my butt here?
You leave me at the altar, right? I mean, that was my state of mind at the time, okay? You went off with Jamie to seek your fortune, and you were coming back to marry me. Now, am I remembering this correctly? Because if I'm not, I want you to correct me. You get lost in your plane, you're reported missing, you're presumed dead. I attend your memorial service, and I cry the tears of a grieving widow.
Muffy,
I vow I'll never get over you. In fact, I never do. I still carry your damn pictures in my wallet. Until one day, I pull into a gas station, and you're alive with people chasing you. And you ask me to look at your butt? I mean, that's okay. That's kind of neat. You know, Rick's alive, and he's shot in the butt. Hey, guys, guess who's alive and shot in the butt? Yeah, Rick. I'm looking at his butt right now. You... lying. God. I've been shitting inside you. Yellow snot fucker. Told you. Belly button. I can't think of enough awful things to say about you. You bastard.
So I guess that's a no on examining my butt, huh? Oh, I'm going to hit probably for me.
Can't answer my phone. Hello? Yes. Fine. Taking a shower. Yeah, I'm coming home tomorrow. Okay, bye.
She hangs up and Rick watches her curiously.
Same guy?
What guy?
Harper, you know, Jeremy the third. Rich boy, redneck asshole. The one you married, you remember him?
You knew I got married?
Yeah. 4 months after I disappeared. Now that's pretty quick work for a grieving widow.
Where were you, Rick?
Well, you could have at least waited to find out.
I was lonely.
You were lonely? You were lonely, so you married the joke of the campus. Jerry, the napalm king. I mean, how could you do that?
We had it wrong. His family made laundry detergent.
Cornwall chemicals?
No, kitchen cleanser.
Oh, Don't kid yourself. They were getting rich and fat off the war.
The war, huh?
Yeah.
Was that it? You were dodging the draft? Or were you just too gutless to tell me you didn't want to marry me?
She follows Rick into the bedroom, and he sits wearily on the foot of the bed.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm okay. I just feel a little woozy, that's all.
I better call the doctor.
Oh, no. Hey, no doctors.
Okay, I will.
Four Seasons Hotel.
Hello? Is this the front desk?
Yes, it is.
Is there a pharmacy in the hotel?
Yes, certainly.
Could you please send up some gauze pads, tape, and hydrogen peroxide, please?
Right away, Miss Graves.
Thank you.
Rick lies on his front.
All right. Now, what's going on? Was that a holdup, or is someone chasing you?
Mm-hmm.
Rick.
Got any kids, Muffy?
No.
It's just you got that mom tone, you know?
Well, I'm a lawyer. I have that lawyer tone. Now I can help you.
Mm-hmm.
Will you talk to me?
Mm-hmm.
Rick?
Tomorrow. Talk to you tomorrow.
Rick's eyes droop shut. He's naked aside from a bath towel wrapped around his waist. Marianne stands up and folds some of the bedding across him. She stands by the bed with her arms folded and gazes down at Rick.
Good Lord. Rick Jarman's alive.
A fire crew tackles the remaining fires in the shell of Marvin's Motown Motors. A police sergeant comes over to one of the firefighters.
Hey, Dan, how's it going?
Hey, Murray. Any idea who did this?
Maybe. I got a phone tip from an eyewitness that said there's some shooting going on and a blue Beamer racing away with a man and woman in it. So we'll take it from there and see what happens.
Hey, Sarge! You better come take a look at this.
See you later, Dan.
A fireman leads the sergeant inside.
Okay, thanks a lot.
The fireman shows him Marvin's body on the stairs. In spray paint on the steps, Marvin has written Billy Ray. Next morning, Rick's on the phone.
I have a perfect right to be rude. I left a message for this guy, and I waited for it, and he picked it up. Well, what time was that?
Marianne wakes on the sofa.
Oh, hell, I want to go above his head.
She puts on a silk gown. She goes up to the bedroom.
Well, I'll tell you what you do. Try by name. Try Bowers.
Billy Ray Bowers.
No one by that name on our list.
You have no record of a Billy Ray Bowers?
No, sir.
I'll try Foret, Jean-Pierre Foret.
No, sir.
Turnbull, Jody.
No.
Carlson, Matthew.
No, sir.
Try Jarman, Richard. Rick Jarman, yeah, that's right. See if anybody by that name exists.
I'm sorry, sir. Have a nice day.
The woman at the Department of Justice hangs up. Rick slowly puts down the phone, then glances over at Marianne.
Well, something's gone wrong. I don't seem to exist anymore. You expecting someone?
I have a standing order for breakfast at 7 a.m.
What time is it?
6:48.
You got a gun?
No.
Of course you don't have a gun. You got any kind of weapon at all?
No, Rick. This is my breakfast.
Marianne, get dressed. Come on, get dressed fast, please.
Rick.
Yeah, we can make it.
What do you mean we? I'm not going out there.
Marianne, 4 attempts have been made on my life, and if you open that door, you could end up dead,
Rick,
you know?
Listen to me, We are at the top of a veritable fortress now, okay? Yes, we are. There are presidents stay here, oil sheiks stay here, friends of Lee Iacocca stay here, George Harrison stays here.
He
simply yes, because it has the best security money can buy. Now, don't be paranoid.
I hate being a woman, Marianne, but, like, paranoid keeps me alive, you know?
This guy comes every morning, trust me.
That's your breakfast, Miss Graves.
Wait. What did you order?
Oh, Rick.
Come on, what did you order?
I ordered grapefruit croissant.
And what?
Prunes.
Well, ask him what he's got. Go on, ask him. I bet he can't tell you.
What's for breakfast?
Some kind of breads and fruits.
I'll be right there. Rick, please pull up a chair, sit down. I'll share my prunes, and then you can tell me all about this.
Don't take the chain off the door, okay? Just rattle it like you're gonna take it off. Make him think you're gonna take it off. Things.
Oh, yeah. You mean like this? Is that good?
Yeah. This is funny to you.
She opens the door a crack and a hand grabs her throat. Rick slams himself against the door.
Oh, God! Oh, God!
You did it!
Marianne scuttles over to a tiny case while Sorensen, unable to get in, punches Rick through the crack in the door. Rick throws his weight against the door, forcing Sorensen to pull his arm back in. While Marianne hunts for her mace, Diggs cuts the security chain with bolt cutters. Marianne finds her mace can. She runs over to the door and squirts it into Diggs and Sorensen's eyes. Rick shuts and locks the door, then grabs Marianne's hand.
Come on upstairs!
While Sorensen and Diggs cough and choke, Marianne and Rick run onto a terrace.
Hurry up!
Oh, I can't do this, Rick!
What are you talking about? This is what Leah Iacocca does.
She climbs a wall.
Oh, I'm very scared, Rick!
Since when did you start wearing underpants?
They reach a ledge.
Rick! Do I get to know what's going on, or do I just get killed for old time's sake?
Come on, follow me.
I gotta know what's going on.
Yeah, well, so do I. Look, I'm supposedly being protected by the federal government, but I think they're trying to do me in, you know?
Who are those men?
Ex-drug enforcement agents. When I sent to jail, the other knows I can send them, and they want me dead, and they'll take whoever's with me, all right?
Why?
Why? Because I testified against them, that's why.
About what?
Well, it's a long story. It's begun!
Rick slips off a girder, but hangs on hundreds of feet above the city street.
Rick!
Shit. This is not a good time to be talking about this, Marianne.
Help! Rick clambers back up onto the girder. Marianne's behind him.
Oh, my God!
Marianne crawls along the girder. Smartly dressed people are eating in an elegant restaurant. Marianne crawls to the window, slides it open and climbs in.
Hi!
Grinning Rick follows her.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we doing?
Oh, I'm so hungry. Look, I got this wrong.
You can't go back to the room. It's too dangerous.
Oh, I gotta change my clothes, Rick.
No, we'll buy some, okay?
This isn't a dream. We're in such deep shit.
They arrive at the hotel's multi-story car park.
You owe me an explanation.
I promise. Just get me out of here. I'll tell you everything. I promise you.
She searches her bag.
No, don't tell me.
She jiggles the BMW keys and grins.
Gotcha.
They get into the BMW.
I got a weenie with you. Come on, let's get out of here. Okay.
Rick's in a chic ladies' fashion store and looks through the window at the BMW parked over the road. He glances across at Marianne, who's trying on clothes behind a screen.
How you doing, old babe?
Great. Oh, come on and tell me the story.
Remember that time when Jamie and I, we got everybody to chip in so we could go south and, you know, score some real Acapulco gold, you remember?
I remember you borrowed his father's plane so you could fly to Mexicali, yeah. And that's the last I ever heard from you.
Yeah, well, it seemed pretty simple, you know, just fly down south, pick up a couple of keys, but no, hey, we were really impressed with ourselves, you know, we started drinking and shooting off at the mouth, and before we knew it, there was this guy called Sorensen involved, and, well, things just got a whole lot bigger.
What
I mean,
a dumbass thing to do. You always did love being a big shot.
Yeah, but you don't understand.
No,
Mary,
I do understand. I understand that you're just being a couple of jerks just like you always were. Anything for a kick, anything to thumb your nose at authority.
Here, gold card man.
Where do you get off with that attitude, huh? Rick Jarman, asshole. Whatever happened to you?
I got smart.
Is that what you call it, being corrupted? Smart.
You know nothing about me.
Oh, I got your number, baby.
Rick follows her out of the store. A blue police SUV cruises down the road and passes Marianne's open-topped BMW. The SUV stops sharply and backs up. The policeman checks out the BMW and gets on the radio.
We got a blue Beamer out front here.
You're totally unchanged, you know that? I've never met anybody more holier than thou.
Tell me something, honestly. Do you ever donate anything to the poor, or do you and Jerry the Napalm King just hoard your millions?
Laundry detergent.
Oh, yeah, we had it wrong.
And yes, we're very rich and we hoard our millions. Occasionally, we invite a poor person in for Thanksgiving. Feed him nothing. We just eat turkey in front of him and watch him starve. Now, can I drop you somewhere?
Yeah, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin?
Yeah, Racine, Wisconsin. I gotta find this guy, Lou Baird. He's the only one I can trust to get me back into hiding.
What's he doing in Wisconsin?
Well, he's not in Wisconsin. He's in St. Louis.
Huh!
Oh, I'm with Rick Jarman again. I forgot. It's all coming back to me. The hand is quicker than
my dress book is in Wisconsin, and that's where his sister lives. I think that's where he retired to.
You know something? I don't think you're in any witness relocation program. I think you're just some two-bit criminal who's being chased by the police.
You don't mean that, Marianne.
Or some hustler who can't pay his gambling debts, and you've dressed it all up with this FBI crap.
Marianne, Wisconsin is only 6 hours away.
I have a life, Rick.
Yeah, but are you happy?
I'm expected back home.
Please, Marianne.
Put your hand on the dashboard. Don't move.
Hold it.
Get that gun out of my face.
You have the right to remain silent. You have the right to an attorney.
I am an attorney now, damn it.
Are you Billy Ray Bauer?
I demand to know what he's charged with.
Both of you are charged with the killing of Marvin Larson. You are identified at the scene of the crime.
Rick, tell them.
Tell them what, Marianne?
About the witness relocation program.
You'll have plenty of time to tell us in jail.
Now put both hands behind your head. Both hands.
Rick headbutts a detective, kicks an officer out of the way, and then leaps into the Beamer.
Run!
Rick slams his hand onto the throttle and they speed off. Marianne steers wildly.
Shut up and stay on the damn thing!
Why, you just killed that guy!
No, I didn't kill him. I loved him. They killed him.
Then you can prove yourself innocent!
Enough, no. I never will. They'll kill me before I get a chance. The same goes for you.
They speed down an alleyway, hitting a guy's rack of dresses. Police cars try to follow, but the guy stops them. Officers yell at the guy and carry on down the alley, spoiling more of his dresses.
Get your foot off!
Rick has his head in the footwell and presses the pedals. He bites Marianne's leg.
Oh, shit! Oh, God!
They speed the wrong way down a one-way street. A bus motors past, clipping Rick's feet.
Oh, you're gonna break my damn legs! Will you stop that squealing? Marianne!
Oh, my God!
They skid round in front of a bus, Rick still upside down with his head in the footwell.
What were you going to? Get us north as soon as you can!
Get your face off my desk!
Cops follow.
Oh, shit!
And hit a truck.
Oh, this can't be good for you.
Rick rights himself.
What are you doing?
I'm taking your place. Move.
What are you doing?
Move. Come on,
no!
Move.
This is a rented car. We could get in trouble if you drive it.
At this moment in your life you're worried about hurts, move.
God, give me my wheel.
You're going to get us both killed, Marianne.
Rick shoves Marianne over and takes the wheel, with her legs flailing in front of him.
Marianne, move over.
Rick swerves left onto another road at high speed. He swerves onto a railway track and into a tunnel.
I think we lost him.
Where are we?
Not there anymore.
Huh?
We're in a railway
tunnel. Oh, where the hell are we?
A light approaches.
Oh, shit!
Rick skids the Beamer to a halt as the train rumbles towards them. Outside, the police SUV speeds towards the tunnel. Rick quickly throws the BMW into reverse. While Rick quickly reverses back up the tunnel, barriers come down across the road, stopping the traffic. The detective gets back on his radio.
I don't know, I'm stuck.
The BMW shoots back out of the tunnel. Rick and the detective clock each other, and Rick gives him a little wave before speeding off. The detective waits, and a small buggy trundles out of the tunnel. The detective drives around the barriers and is hit by a freight train, which carries the SUV along the track. The detective pushes out the windscreen to escape. Marianne hits laughing Rick.
What are you doing? You should have killed me, for Christ's sake!
Come on, I did you a favor, man. What, you having fun or something?
No! I can't believe that you pulled it.
You were great back there. I gotta say.
I was so scared.
You know, you're gonna love it in Racine. I mean, that's what happened in town.
The car was rented by one Marianne Graves, a lady lawyer from New York. How she got involved, I don't know. But I can tell you this, I don't like it.
Call it kidnapping.
They'll kill her the same way he killed his boss at the gas station.
I don't like all of this killing. Erasing a witness.
Joe! You're not trying to back out on us now, are you?
Not a good idea, Joe.
Please don't smoke in here. My friend Eugene and I would hate to inform certain authorities that 20 years ago you were responsible for selling confiscated narcotics out of the back door of the police warehouse.
Yeah, Joe. Especially now that you got yourself such a big career.
Relax.
doing everything I can do. I've used the kidnapping angle to bring the FBI in. We're plugged into the woman's phone lines, credit cards, bank account, auto club. They're bound to surface. When they do, Jarman will either be shot dead or he'll wind up in prison. From then on, he's yours.
We're looking forward to that, Joe.
What a pro.
At the Department of Justice, Joe hangs up on Sorensen, Diggs and some other heavies, then wipes his hand across his mouth with a nervous expression. The BMW drives past a sign, Great Lakes Ferry, Detroit to Racine. Rick and Marianne drive onto the open ferry. The ferry pulls away from the dock and glides across the vast lake. Marianne sleeps on a large bench, with Rick sitting beside her. Rick notices a guy walking past with a couple of drinks in paper cups. Ponytailed Rick licks his lips, then spots another guy getting a drink from a machine. Rick glances around, then takes Marianne's little bag and opens it. He takes out her purse and pulls out a handful of $100 bills.
Oh yeah, sure, hundreds. That's all you carry.
Rick also finds the strip of photo booth pictures and laughs at the snaps of him, Marianne and the other guy clowning around. He turns the photos over and reads, "To the other two musketeers, love always, Jamie." Rick remembers the other guy, Jamie, falling to the ground with a bullet wound in his chest. His smile gone, Rick puts the photos back into the purse, then puts the purse back into the bag and places it beside Marianne. She wakes and sits up, bleary-eyed.
Oh, where are we now?
Shortcut.
Marianne stares at Rick, who looks sad and reflective.
What's the matter?
Oh, nothing. I never told you. Jamie's dead.
Oh. God.
He was killed by Sorensen and Diggs. They were these two drug enforcement agents. Corrupt ones. They busted Jamie and me for the nickel bags we bought and told us we'd rot in jail if we didn't do exactly what they said. I don't know. One minute we were kids and the next we were trapped in the middle of some major drug deal. They needed our plane, see? They made us fly under the radar to an unmarked airstrip on the U.S. side, and that's where all hell broke loose. Diggs and Sorensen must have been under government surveillance because there were a lot of cops there waiting for us when we landed. Sorensen came out shooting. He killed one of the Border Patrol guys and wounded another one. Diggs, however, got away. Me and Jamie, we figured we could bring Sorensen down before he killed anybody else. We were wrong. Jamie got it point blank in the chest.
A flashback of Jamie falling backwards onto the dirt and Rick being arrested.
I spent 3 months in a Mexicali jail before the FBI finally offered me an immunity for, of course, testifying against Diggs and Sorensen.
That's when I joined the witness relocation program, and hey, it's been fun ever since.
Why didn't you call me?
Well, heck, I didn't want to get you involved or anything. You were just about to march up the altar anyway. I'll let it lie.
Marianne looks away. Beneath a hazy amber sky, the ferry approaches the Racine side of the lake. The BMW stops outside a market square and Rick and Marianne get out.
This is it, huh?
Oh, no. Oh, I think this is it. It's all changed around, huh? I hope it's it. Yeah, this is it. Oh, I'd better be here. I'm in deep
Listen,
shit.
Listen, I'm going to go look for the bathroom.
Yeah, okay. Change.
As soon as I can get to West National for the VA.
Marianne, hang on. Hold up a sec.
What?
I got this shoulder.
Yeah, be right with you, pal.
What do you need?
Just some... this.
Rick takes $100 from Marianne's purse.
You know?
Here you go, brother. I have 3 squares on me.
That's all you got?
How dare you do a thing like that?
Well, the guy's hungry.
Yeah, but I mean, that's for me to decide. That's my money.
You got plenty of it there. What's the problem?
And I worked hard for it too, damn it.
Oh, Well, you couldn't carry something smaller. What do you carry hundreds around for? Status or something?
No, emergency.
Well, this was an emergency.
Yeah, but it wasn't my emergency.
Look, it's that attitude that keeps half the people in this world starving. You know that?
I don't see you feeding the poor.
What did you just see?
Huh? Oh, you're such a jackass.
Oh, am I? Maddie Carlson. Oh, my God.
Maddie?
Marianne, I gotta talk to
Maddie!
You.
Maddie!
When I left my job here, you see, I owed this guy a lot of money.
Maddie!
See,
hi.
Guys, you won't believe who's here. It's Mad Maddie Carlson! Could you just go and wait in the car,
don't
please?
Tell
this could
me.
Get ugly. What? Marianne, I gotta talk to you for a minute.
You were a hairdresser?
Maddie! Well, you don't get a lot of choice in the relocation game, you know?
Maddie!
Oh, I can't believe it! Oh, Ron is gonna shit. He's gonna die. I just can't believe it, Maddie!
So, don't you say hi to an old friend? Come on, cat got your tongue. Say something, Maddie.
Hi, Scotty.
Hiya, babe.
A man and woman rush out of the hairdressers.
Oh, God, I can't believe you came back.
How are you?
Oh, great.
Oh, I like the, Oh, no, it's just dirty. I had to tie it out. How gorgeous.
Who's this?
This is my sister.
Hi, Suze. Now, come on, let's go see Ron. He's dying to see you.
I'll bet he is.
You know, your brother is a genius, the Michelangelo of hair. I'm not exaggerating.
We lost half our clientele when he left.
He left on his lunch break. Can you believe it?
You
really?
Bread and butter.
Silly girl.
He always does my hair.
So, you coming back? You're gonna have to pay Ron what you owe him, you know? Ron, look who's back.
Hi, Ron.
Well, hello, Matthew.
Well, I bet you're surprised to see me. What? Ron, you've lost weight. And your hair, why, you look 10 years younger.
Cut the crap, Maddie. You've been a bad boy.
I know. Mea culpa, mea culpa.
And six Emperor Tyrannus.
Oh, you're so right. But I've come to pay you back what I owe you.
Will wonders never cease?
Do you still have my things, my address book?
Show me cash. I'll show you the book.
Could you hang on a minute? Marianne, this is fun with you?
Yes, please.
Marianne, I need $2,000 cash.
Yes, isn't it nice that one of us became a materialistic being?
Yes, it is. Can you help me, please?
Well, what's in it for me? Invest it.
Well, if I get the cash, then I can get the book, which means I can get to Luke Baird, which means I can pay you back quicker. And if I don't get the book, well, you might be just stuck with me. How's that?
Marianne steps up to Ron.
Who do I make the check out to?
I'm supposed to believe your check is good. I want cash.
The bank's over there.
I'll get the book.
We'll discuss it when I see cash. And then I'll want an apology. Then you can do my hair.
Well, why mess with perfection?
Oh, Rick, it's unfair.
Who is this?
His sister.
She called him Rick.
I called him sick.
Oh, he is sick. A cash... apology, hair, in that order. I'll be waiting.
Driver's license and three IDs.
Credit cards, too?
Mm-hmm.
The bank clerk calls up data on a computer.
Break.
The computer flashes an alert. Notify police. Subject wanted suspect. Arson, homicide, possible kidnapping. The clerk scuttles off.
He's gonna go.
Oh, stop.
I'm not stopping them. I've already talked to them. I might have a gun. What am I
expecting? Hey.
Sir?
What's going on? Can you step on it, please? We're in a hurry.
Certainly. All right. Take what you want. I'm going as fast as I can.
He offers money.
You get the wrong idea.
Everybody freeze! Nobody move!
A security guard.
Don't move!
He points a gun at Rick.
Put your arms up!
Rick grabs the gun.
Down on the floor! Now!
Oh! My credit card!
Forget about the credit card!
Marianne runs back.
Just let me get my gold card! Please! Oh, just let me!
Everybody stay down and the girl gets it!
Rick bundles Marianne out of the bank as police cars arrive. Marianne and Rick find themselves by a payphone and act like they're casually making a call as officers pile out of the squad cars.
Hey, what's going on, officer?
Folks, want to step across the street, please?
Sure.
Rick and Marianne run. They charge down a narrow alleyway and emerge on an upper walkway, where Rick spots a parked motorbike.
I'm not going with you!
You got no choice now. I mean, they're after you too, you know, and it's not just the cops.
God, what am I supposed to do, spend my life running like you?
Well, it's up to you.
I say they're dead if they catch you. Now hop aboard or say goodbye. Come on.
Marianne stares at Rick, who's hot-wired the bike.
So long, tough guy.
Yeah, so long.
Rick races off along the walkway and jumps down onto a lower level. Marianne watches him go, then sighs and struts off in the other direction. She walks past some outdoor cafe tables, then hides behind a display of wind chimes when she sees more police cars approaching.
Okay, this is the car. Raverman, cover the rear.
Some cops surround the BMW while others stalk through the market holding shotguns poised. Marianne hides among some colourful fish streamers while the cops search the area.
Yes, sir, I got it.
Marianne breaks cover and makes a run for it. She gallops down a flight of stairs and emerges on the street. She looks completely lost.
What the hell am I doing?
Hop on! Come on, hop on!
What are you doing here?
I missed it.
She jumps on the bike.
You okay?
Why are we going back?
I forgot something!
Oh!
As Rick rides towards the hairdresser's, tall bearded Rawn spots him and quickly closes the doors.
Oh, what's the play?
Rick skids the bike round and heads for the back of the building. Rawn runs for the back door, but he's too late, and Rick rides in, forcing Rawn to run out of the way.
Bernie, what is this? Butch on wheels?
Okay, Rawn, here's your cash. Now give me the book. Come on, give me the book. It's more than you need. Give me the book.
Maddie, take me with you.
Now, this town needs you, Rawn.
Get the crap out of here.
That ought to be enough to cover the damages.
What damages?
Rick roars off and smashes the motorbike through the front doors. Pursued by a cop car, Rick rides down the street with Marianne clinging on behind him. He swerves to avoid oncoming traffic, then turns onto a different road and sees another squad car heading towards him.
Boss. It's our time.
He turns into a tiny alleyway.
I have a suspect in sight and I'm in pursuit.
A police bike chases them down the alley. People dive out of the way.
I'm following suspects in Fantan Alley and I'm in pursuit.
The police rider chases Rick and Marianne along a narrow alley which is filled with Chinese shops. The two motorbikes race past a pair of old Chinese men who sit chatting. At the exit of the alley, two men are levelling off a path of wet cement.
I almost have them, I'm in pursuit.
Rick and Marianne race towards the exit of the alleyway. One of the workmen sees them and jumps out of the way quick as the motorbike roars across the wet cement. The cop tries to follow them, but is thrown off his bike and lands face down in the cement.
Put your face in my sidewalk!
I'm no longer in pursuit.
Rick rides the motorbike along a quiet country road with Marianne slumped against him asleep. At the Department of Justice, one of the officials and Paul, Marianne's balding boyfriend, watch security footage of Rick and Marianne in the bank.
Come on, hurry.
We can walk quickly as I can.
Everybody freeze, nobody move.
Don't move.
Put your hands up. On the floor, now, now.
Looks like she's there of her own free will to me. Look at this part. Tell her she kept trying to go back for the money, even when her boyfriend wanted out.
He is not her boyfriend. Can we get that straight? I am her boyfriend.
Nevertheless, she's obviously not a kidnap victim, so the FBI is out of it. It's up to the local authorities now. Oh, hi, Joe. This is Paul Bernhardt, Joe Wayburn. He works in our office here.
Mr. Bernhardt, any theories as to how to head him off?
Well, he obviously used to work at this mall, so maybe going back to a place of employment is the start of a pattern, but without a record of previous employment, then all we can do is wait and see.
Keep on it. Mr. Bernhardt?
Yeah.
Joe shakes Paul's hand, then marches out briskly. Joe strides into an office, takes the floppy disk from his pocket and loads it into a computer. He calls up Rick's mugshot and details and checks out Rick's hairstylist alias.
Matthew Carlson Rons of Racine.
Another alias.
Jody Turnbull Muncie Farms. Muncie Farms.
Yeah. Oh, tell him Rick Jarman needs to speak to him.
I mean, I need to. It's urgent, okay? Jarman. J-A-R-M-I-N. Yep. Not till when? 6 o'clock. 6 p.m.? On the dot, ma'am. On the dot. Okay, thanks. Yeah. Yeah, oh, sure. He'll remember me. Believe me, he'll remember me. Thanks again. Bye, ma'am.
Hallelujah! Woo-hoo! He's there. Not till 6 o'clock, but he's there. He had to go to the doctor.
Demon. Out!
He's got a job in the zoo, you know? He got me a job there once. Did I ever tell you about the time I was working in the zoo?
I wish to hear about the zoo. I wish to get out of these bushes. I'm wearing cashmere in 100-degree heat, and I really don't feel like waiting around here until 6 o'clock.
Well,
Yeah?
Hey, I know some place where we can go. It's on the way. Oh. If you don't mind riding for a couple hours, is that all right? You think you can do that?
Yeah. God,
what? What are you saying? What are you saying?
Nothing.
Well, look, either say it or don't say it, all right?
Looking exhausted, Marion gets onto the back of the motorbike. Rick kickstarts the bike and they set off along the empty country road. Rick and Marianne ride along a rural lane, passing a field of cows and a sign for Jasmine Hills Animal Hospital. They ride past a small private plane and stop outside a huge palatial wooden country house. Marianne wakes up on the back of the bike. They get off.
I need enough sleep.
Hey! Come here!
A dog runs over to him.
You son of a bitch, you're still alive.
And hopefully she'll get better when she's had the operation. Jody?
Oh, hi, Rach. How are you?
I can't believe I never thought I'd see you again.
You look
Talk
great.
About dropping out of the blue. I don't know what to say. This guy built half this place and disappeared.
I'm sorry. This is Marianne Graves. This is Dr. Rachel Varney.
Hello. Hi. You used to work here?
Yeah. Yeah, as a carpenter and a general, you know.
Pilot, designer, everything, and then just one day gone.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I had to leave in a heck of a hurry.
I was looking for you the day after you left.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's still looking for me.
What happened?
Shot me in the butt.
Take her and prep her, okay? Quite a game of tag the two of you are playing.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Well, no, it's just a little buckshot. It went straight through.
Well, not if it's bleeding.
Bleeding?
Let me take a look. Come on, take your pants down. Let me take a look.
Well, not out here.
What, are you shy? I've seen it before. Oh. I'm sorry. Are you his wife? No! Are you kidding? No way. Listen, you two just go right ahead and whatever, and I'll call a cab.
That's not a good idea, Mary. She's insane with fatigue. She needs something to eat and a bed and a bath. Oh, God, I'm sorry. How about that, Mary?
Well, sure, you can use the guest house to wash up and sleep if you want. Jody, can you stay the night?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, go ahead, Rick. Be a sport.
She always calls me Rick.
Oh, get in your way.
It's not like that, really.
Well, yes, it is. I mean, it was.
Yeah, well, it was, yeah.
He picked me up and put me back on my feet. Showed me how to do everything. I bet he did. You should see the barn, by the way.
Yeah?
Oh, it all worked. Every single idea you had worked. The big animal practice is back there.
It takes one to know one. There you go.
The horse links? Wonderful. You want to
see it? Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go.
We never saw anything work.
No,
you just
God, I didn't know whether it would.
Well, it did.
Marianne, come on.
No, I'm sure she doesn't want to bother. She's exhausted. No. I'd like to see that horse link.
A surgery in the barn.
Hey, all right, oh, Silver. Look at that.
Is that wild?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought I was nuts when I showed him the plan.
I thought I was nuts when I did him.
Let me see this, Jody.
A fold-away surgical table.
Oh, yeah. Look.
It works. It works great.
It works. It works. It works. It works.
Nice job.
I'm a genius.
We'll let the inventor use his table. Drop him and hop up. Oh, do you need her to leave?
Well.
No, I'll stay. I've seen it before, too. Great. You can assist. Get the peroxide and sponges from the cabinets over there. Come on. Take your pants off and get on the table. Come on, don't be a baby.
Okay, be gentle with me, okay?
Well, I'll think about it.
Yeah.
I'll be gentle.
Rick drops his jeans and sits on the steel table.
Oh! That's cold.
Well, the cows never seem to mind. Roll over.
Roll over.
Roll over.
Do I got a milk bone?
Marianne comes over with a bottle of peroxide.
What do you have in mind, Marianne?
Let's take a look.
I don't know.
Attractive brunette Rachel pulls down Rick's pants and pulls the plaster off his wounded butt.
How is it?
Well, it's not bad, but it's not great. Clean it up.
What's that?
Marianne pours the peroxide on the wound.
Sulfuric acid.
Rachel squirts a hypodermic.
Oh, geez, what are you doing? Oh, I hate those things.
You okay? Fine. Feel that?
Feel what?
There it is.
What?
Using tweezers, Rachel picks a piece of buckshot out of Rick's buttock.
Sponge?
Marianne faints.
Hey, Marianne.
Ooh, I think you need a little fresh air.
Well, I'm fine. I'm really fine.
I'll send your cowboy right out.
Maybe just a whiff.
Help me.
She's tired and she needs something to eat, too.
Rachel comes back.
So, who is she?
Oh, she's just an old friend.
Yeah, right.
Really, she's an old friend.
You sure about that?
Yeah, well, you got a knife up my ass, I am.
How bad is it, this thing you're running from?
Pretty bad.
Think you'd ever beat it and want to come back by here someday?
Boy, if I could beat it, I'd go anywhere.
I'm asking because I'm engaged to be married.
Well, flagellations, that's great. That's great.
I'd, rethink it if I thought you might come back this way someday.
You're always word direct, Rachel.
Okay, you're done.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
Well,
how long have I got?
The wedding's on Sunday.
Well, I'm a bad bet, you know. Much happiness, Rachel. Come here.
Rick pulls Rachel towards him, and they kiss just as Marianne comes in.
Well, excuse me for a minute.
Rick runs after Marianne.
You never hustled like that when I was angry.
Marianne.
Rachel sighs. Outside.
Marianne, you okay?
Oh, forget it, all right?
What? Forget what?
Yeah, I just need a telephone so I can get out of here and you two can live happily ever after.
It's not like
no?
That. No? No. I mean, she was
in your arms and you were naked, I thought.
It's nothing.
Yeah, and my name is Dumbo. Who cares?
Well, what's it to you? I mean, why should you care? You're happily married, yeah?
Not.
But you're not happy?
Not married.
No?
No, it just didn't work out.
Oh, if the guy was a prick, you're probably better off without him.
God. My heart can't take this again.
Rick smiles.
Remember the time I saw that flying saucer?
Yeah, well, we were smoking some pretty heavy stuff back then.
Yeah. You know. I think I see another one.
Rick follows her gaze. Over the brow of a hill, a helicopter approaches. Rachel runs out as a man leans out of the black helicopter and opens fire with an assault rifle. Cows lumber out of the way, and Rick and Marianne throw themselves behind a wooden water trough, which is soon peppered with holes. Rachel runs back into the barn, then comes out with a shotgun and a box of shells. She takes aim and shoots at the front of the chopper. The helicopter veers round and Marianne and Rick break cover. With bullets whizzing by their feet, Marianne and Rick hide behind a cart with Rachel, who reloads her shotgun.
Friends of yours, Jody?
Oh, no!
Rachel fires more shots at the chopper and scores several direct hits, forcing it to land.
All right, go! I'll stay here!
Right. Get out of here!
Get out of here!
Yeah, okay, on. Fire it. Thanks a lot.
Cover you! Get out of here!
Rick and Marianne run towards the motorbike, but the attacker shoots at it with his assault rifle. The motorbike explodes into flames and Rick and Marianne throw themselves to the ground.
Yeah, let's fly! Oh, man, kill you!
Rick takes Marianne's hand and pulls her towards the small aeroplane, while Rachel fires more shots at the attacker. Marianne clambers into the plane and Rick tries to get the propeller spinning as the attacker runs towards them. Rick gets the plane going and climbs in.
Hurry up, Rick!
You ready for this? Tie down your tube.
The crop-dusting plane taxis off along the grass, and the attacker shoots at it, but Rachel fires her shotgun at him, forcing him to duck back behind a tree. The plane trundles down a dip, then shoots up the other side and takes to the sky. The helicopter lifts off and goes after the plane. The plane climbs higher with the helicopter close behind. The attacker leans out of the chopper and shoots at the plane.
Hang on, Muffy!
Rick banks the plane over sharply and sends it plummeting towards the ground. The helicopter follows and opens fire on the plane, which flies low over a railway line. The two aircraft fly past a factory, then gain more height. They fly over grassland, with the guy in the helicopter still shooting at the plane. One of the plane windows shatters, and Rick pulls up sharply.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God!
Rick performs a loop-the-loop, and the chopper tries to stay behind him. The plane is now above the chopper, and Rick flies down towards it. The plane's wheels collide with the chopper's rotor. Rick struggles with the plane's controls as the chopper goes out of control. Smoke billowing behind it, the chopper drops like a stone and crashes on the ground. The helicopter explodes in a vast fireball. The plane wobbles a little as it flies above trees.
If you got a belt, put it on. Oh. Or stick your head between your knees.
Oh, what do I do now?
Kiss your ass goodbye. We got no wheels and we're coming down.
God.
The plane swoops towards the ground.
I don't want to die.
The plane hits the ground and flips over onto its roof. Rick pushes open the window.
Are we dead?
Hell. No. Well, we will be if we don't get out of here. This can't be good for you.
Help me.
Oh. Rick unbuckles his seatbelt and clambers out, then helps Marianne.
Let's go. This thing still might blow up.
Oh, my.
You know, it's been 5 years. I guess I haven't lost my touch. Like riding a bicycle, I guess. You never forget it.
In woods.
I can't take this anymore. I'm going to go on the road and hitchhike. I don't care if they catch us and we die. I need food. I need a bath. I need a bed. I need a massage. I need a manicure. I need to see my therapist.
I need a beer. Oh, look at that. It's a promised land.
Oh, we have no money and no credit card.
I'll talk to the guy in charge.
Here.
Marianne takes off her watch.
Here's my watch.
Hold me down.
Here. And if they don't take them, sell my body.
Okay.
Rick heads for the motel he spotted.
I don't care.
Marianne stands in a bath and turns on the taps. She turns a dial and water gushes out of a shower head above her. She smiles as the hot water hits her body. A cockroach crawls around on the shower fitting. Her eyes closed, Marianne grins and holds her face under the water. The cockroach crawls onto the shower head, and the pressure of the water sends him flying onto Marianne's head. Marianne freaks out and desperately ruffles her hair as she jumps out of the shower. Obscured behind a curtain, Marianne jigs around, then viciously squishes the cockroach with something long and heavy-looking. In the motel office, Rick's on the phone.
Yes, I'll try and get there early afternoon. That's right. Thank you. Bye.
Right here.
All right.
Hallway. See you in the morning.
Tomorrow morning, 7:30, before okay. You know it. Thanks, Norman.
Okay, good night now.
Night.
He heads to a chalet.
Hey, Marietta, you in this one?
There's no lock and no door handle. Well, then watch the door. It falls off the hinges.
Well, why didn't you choose another one? The guy said take your pick.
It's the only one with a TV.
Oh, so there is. There's civilization. I wonder if we're on the news.
Shit.
Oh, there was nothing good on anyway.
The TV tables collapsed, breaking the TV.
I've just taken a shower. I'm wearing a towel. Hanging up my clothes.
Well, this is interesting narration, Marianne.
Marianne hangs clothes in the wardrobe, then bends down to pick something up off the floor. She pulls the towel down over her bum when she becomes aware of Rick watching her.
I'd appreciate you not watching me.
Well, there's nothing else to watch. Oh, speaking of watches, I still got yours. Yeah, I didn't give it to the guy. We're going to need it tomorrow anyway. You know, we'll have to get a car or something. Oh, Lou Baird said he wants to see me in person. Yeah. I was talking to his sister on the phone. I tried to tell her the problem. But she said it wasn't a good idea to discuss it on the phone.
Why?
I don't know.
Why, was the phone tapped or something?
Oh, God. I knew you'd say that. I hope not.
Don't go there, Rick.
What?
Call the police.
No, Marianne, you know I can't do that.
Why are you so paranoid about the police?
Look,
they can help you.
I'm a half a day's drive away from you, Ben. I'm not going to the goddamn...
How do you know he's not part of the staff?
Because he isn't, that's why. I mean, he saved my hide too many times to want to try and do me in now, huh? Tomorrow morning, we'll find the nearest town, we'll swap that watch yours to some old junker, and everything will be just fine, okay? Look, I know what I'm doing, okay?
You got a towel.
That's not a towel.
All right, now who's going to pay for this hotel room?
Well, they need a chambermaid.
A chambermaid?
Yeah, well, I'll help you. It's only 12 units. It won't take us very long. What? Are you mumbling? What are you doing?
I said good luck, pal. I'm out of here in the morning.
Marianne, I gave this guy my word.
Well, I didn't, all right? I'm going to call my office in the morning and have them express mail some money. I'm going to pay this guy off. I'm going to buy this damn place if necessary. And I'm out of here.
Hey, calm down, Linda. What's eating you?
Calm down. I just took a shower with a cockroach from hell. He's in there doing his hair right now. Not to mention the fact that you've sold me into human bondage.
She notices Rick's naked.
Well, you really are spoiled, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Well, then being a chambermaid might do you some good.
Oh, God!
Stop that shit, will you?
What
stop
shit?
That mumbling stuff you do, that has always
did
driven me crazy.
Did you ever wonder why we ever got together in the first place? Did you ever wonder about that? I mean, did we ever agree on anything? Did your personality ever not annoy me?
Sex.
Sex.
Yeah, sex.
I really don't remember.
Oh, really? You don't remember?
No. And I don't think you do either. I think this is some cheap trick just because I'm about to get into this bed with you.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about me.
Anyway, I have a boyfriend. A very wonderful boyfriend.
Marianne turns off the light, then closes her eyes and snuggles down, while Rick watches her.
So who's his boyfriend?
How did I know you were going to ask me that?
Well, why shouldn't I?
Well, it's because you'll just belittle him.
I would not.
Yes, you will. I know you.
Oh, have it your way.
Please stay above the covers.
Why?
My towel is wet. I have to get out of it.
Oh, I guess so.
That's better. Thank you.
Rick continues watching her.
So come on, tell me about this boyfriend of yours. What's he like in the sack? Can he throw the leg? Huh? Marianne?
I'm not discussing sex with you tonight.
She rolls over.
You know, I haven't had a girlfriend in 5 years.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Wiggly's been on bread and water for 5 long years.
Oh, God. Is that the truth?
Yeah, I didn't think it would be fair.
Cold?
Huh? Oh, not really.
Feels familiar, doesn't it?
Thought you said you didn't remember.
I feel kind of selfish under here.
Oh, you are very selfish, and not just under there.
Oh, well, too bad you said that.
Why?
Well, I was actually beginning to get turned on.
Oh, too bad for you. I wasn't.
Oh, you weren't?
No.
Fine.
Stop that, will you? Look,
what?
If you do that again...
No, you can't tell me what to do, okay? I can't help it. Anyway, what are you going to do about it? Add another felony to your list of crimes? Go to sleep.
Rick bites the pillow, then lets it go.
I can't. What's the name of this boyfriend? Come on, you can tell me. I'll be nice, I promise.
You will?
Yeah.
Okay. His name is Paul.
Sounds like a dipshit.
Oh,
trust me, anyone named Paul, he's probably a spot welder.
Shut up. Go to sleep. Is that true?
What?
About 5 years.
Thought you didn't want to discuss it.
I don't.
Well, then shut up.
Shut up?
Yeah, shut up.
Yeah, I'll shut up.
Rick pulls her over and kisses her passionately. Marianne lies on her back, gazing up at Rick.
Oh, God.
They kiss again, and naked Marianne rolls over on top of Rick. With moonlight spilling through the blinds and casting stripes across their bodies, Rick rolls Marianne onto her back. Their lips gently unlock, and Marianne strokes his face. He stares down at her, and they kiss again. Rick breaks off and smiles at Marianne, then kisses her some more. Daybreak, and a guy walks his dog past the motel office. In their chalet, Rick and Marianne cuddle in bed.
Oh, doesn't this feel right? You know, I had that dream, Ken. Do you remember the dream I used to have after we made love?
The one about the seven dwarfs?
No. No, remember the dream we were in the middle of the ocean and it was that really big sailboat?
Oh, yeah.
We were alone. There was nobody around. It was just us.
It's a nice dream.
Can't we do that? Can't we find a way, Rick?
I spent 15 years looking for it. If I could have found it, I'd have come and got you, married or not.
Would you really?
Oh, yeah. But there's nothing we can do now. We gotta get out of here. I'm gonna see what kind of a car I can get with that watch of yours.
Rick gets out of bed and Marianne stares into space.
There must be a way.
Yeah.
Paul, Marianne, listen. No, I'm fine. I'm really all right. Yes. Listen, I can't talk. No, I'm fine. I'm fine. I just need you to help us. I need you to call someone. Please. Yes. Damn it. God, I don't have time.
Hey, Marianne, your chariot awaits you.
Just do it, will you? Gotta go.
Wait on. You better pick it up hot late. We gotta go. Marianne? Hi.
You found me.
Yeah. Wait till you see what I got for you.
Yeah, bring it on out.
Oh, there's your watch.
He shows her a black Porsche.
Beauty.
It drives off, revealing a pickup.
Fine piece of equipment. Look at this little jewel here.
Oh, I had to grind him down, but he finally accepted my terms.
Yeah, hello. Extension 2200, please.
Paul calls Joe.
Hello. Well, yes, Mr. Bernhardt, of course I remember you. They're headed where? Right, she wants federal marshals and some members of the press there. Well, you did the right thing by calling me. I could take care of all that. No, you wait by the phone. Oh, yes, we'll make sure she's safe. You don't have to worry. You bet. And, thank you.
The shabby old pickup truck pumps out clouds of thick smoke as it motors down a quiet suburban street. It heads down a hill towards a town. The pickup slows to a halt outside a large, old-fashioned house.
All right, end of the line.
Oh!
Oh, geez, it's okay. Right. Well, if you can get here at all.
Rick and Marianne get out, and Marianne walks towards the house.
Oh, hang on, wait for me. Oh, the lights are on, so I guess there must be somebody in there.
Rick slaps on a window.
Hey, Lou!
Inside, a grey-haired man making a model plane waves at Rick, then carries on.
Lou? Hey, Lou, it's me.
Rick.
In a minute.
Stubborn old guy, isn't he?
Hey, Lou, you mind if we come in?
I'll see you at the front door.
Oh, okay.
Lou.
Yes?
It's me, Rick Jarman.
Oh, my Lord, so it is.
Oh, jeez, Lou.
Oh, Rick, come on in.
Howdy. This is Mary Ann Graves.
How do you do?
Lou, good.
Oh, Rick, come on in.
The hell out of me. You know, for a minute there, I thought you'd forgotten who I was.
Well, I damn near did.
Boy, I'd have been in big trouble then, because I'm in a spot and you're about the only guy in the world that can help me out.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, where do I start? Sorensen, they finally let him out of the cage, and he and Diggs are after us. I mean, they're after us, and they seem to know every move we're making. And I think somebody at the Bureau is doing us in.
I work at the zoo.
Yeah.
I've got connections there.
Well, you placed me there, remember?
It's just down the block. I can find it every time, even in the dark. Molly likes it that way.
Marianne looks puzzled, and Lou turns to Rick.
Are you Monty?
A woman on the stairs.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the bell.
The woman, in her 60s, comes down to them.
Are you the young man who was calling?
Rick nods.
I told you, I didn't think he'd remember. That's why I thought you should come here. Sometimes it helps if he sees a face.
Rick looks out of the window and sees Joe getting out of a car.
Ma'am, do you know who that is?
Rick.
A black SUV also pulls up.
Those are federal marshals I called them.
Oh.
I thought this was a setup. Why? Even if it isn't a setup, you've got to talk
Mary.
To them. You can't keep running, Rick.
Rick sees Sorensen and Diggs get out of the SUV.
Wait about one thing, there's nowhere else to run. Have you got a basement here?
Well, yes, it's off the kitchen.
Can you show it to me?
Rick, what have I done? I'm sorry.
Sorensen and Diggs walk to the front door.
Get in here.
Well, you two go down there and lock yourselves in and don't come out until everything's quiet, okay?
Where are you going, Rick?
Well, I don't know, Lou.
How about the zoo? They got guns there. You know every inch of the way.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
As Lou and the woman, Molly, head down into the basement, Rick grabs a large notepad and starts writing on it. Joe opens the front double doors and steps in.
Hello?
Rick's written, zoo.
Lou? Molly? Rick? You got nothing to fear. Joe Wayburn.
He beckons Sorensen and Diggs. Marianne and Rick run out to the truck.
Rick, are those guys going to follow us?
Damn well better.
They drive off and Joe, Diggs and Sorensen run out of the house. The tatty pickup truck drives along an empty nighttime road and pulls up outside the main gates of the zoo. Marianne and Rick get out and Rick runs to a door. He tries the handle, then punches a code into a keypad by the door.
Oh, they changed the code.
Rick climbs up a wall, then leaps and grabs onto a pole on which hangs a banner. Meanwhile, Marianne punches some numbers into the keypad.
Now.
Rick climbs into the compound as Marianne comes through the door. Joe's car and the SUV approach the zoo. Rick and Marianne climb up some steps beside a pool enclosure.
Come on.
Rick leans over the barrier around another pool and pats the head of a dolphin.
You didn't see us, Bob, okay?
They run on. Joe's car and the SUV screech to a halt outside the zoo gates. Rick and Marianne run to a set of glass doors outside an indoor exhibit. Rick tries to open the doors, but they're locked. He grabs a nearby bin and hurls it through the glass. Joe, Diggs and Sorensen, all carrying guns, stalk towards the outer door of the zoo. Rick kicks at the glass doors he broke. Joe, Diggs and Sorensen approach the zoo door as Rick and Marianne finally get into the indoor exhibit. Rick strides into a control booth and searches through drawers.
Where is it? Where did they put these things? Where?
He opens a cabinet and finds a pistol.
They used to have real guns here. That's a tranquilizer gun.
Rick presses buttons on a control panel. Lights come on in a large room, kitted out as a vast indoor jungle, complete with trees, rope bridges, and a huge working waterfall. White doves fly up and perch on vines. Rick presses more buttons and the waterfall stops. Marianne looks out at the fake jungle through a window and notices a large crocodile swimming around in the water. Sorensen, Diggs and Joe arrive at the dolphin enclosure and Billy pops up out of the water. Sorensen holds his assault rifle poised and leads the way. In the control booth, Rick flicks more switches and images of caged wild animals appear on video monitors. Marianne comes over to him.
Hey. I'm sorry I did this to you. No. I called them on you and it...
Hey, no, that's all right. You know, I should be apologizing to you. Anyway, look, it's probably all for the best. 15 years is long enough, yeah?
Yeah, I guess.
He kisses her lovingly.
Call the doors and stay in here no matter what you see. Don't come out there. But just stay in here. And if you see me do this, I want you to hit this button here. See it? See what it does? See those lights out there? It turns them on. Just like that. Okay. Keep your head down, okay?
Rick, what? Please live through this. I can't go to another one of your funerals.
He hugs her.
Okay. You remember, you stay in here, okay? Because it's just you out there.
Sorensen, Diggs and Joe go through the broken doors into the indoor exhibit area. In the jungle room, Rick goes down some stairs and takes up position behind some moss-covered rocks. He holds the pistol at the ready and shushes an iguana sitting on the rock beside him. In the booth, Marianne looks at the control panel.
Oh, which one did he say?
She looks worried, then sees Sorensen and the others come in.
Oh.
Rick? Hey, Rick? Buddy? It's Joe Wavern. We don't mean any harm. We just want to talk.
Rick fires a tranquilizer dart, which misses the heavies and embeds itself into the door behind Sorensen. Diggs and Sorensen open fire on the rocks that Rick is hiding behind. Rick moves the iguana to safety, then tries to make a run for it across a rope bridge. A bullet hits him in the stomach and he collapses. Rick doggedly carries on across the bridge while Diggs and Sorensen are forced to reload. Looking pained, Rick reloads his pistol, then staggers alongside a sheer rock face. He makes a pulling gesture to Marianne in the booth. Marianne presses a button on the control panel, which causes the lights to flash and starts a fake storm.
Welcome to the tropical rainforest. Here, we have assembled a collection of flora and fauna, indigenous to both the South American rainforest and the African savannah.
There!
Marianne presses another button and the waterfall starts up again. Rick is caught up in the surging water and thrown down to the little lake where the crocodile waits.
Oh, shit!
Hearing Marianne's cry, the heavies open fire on the booth, smashing the large window. Marianne drops to the floor and curls up. Rick crawls through the shallow lake, then reaches a bank as the crocodile turns to snap at him. Rick jerks back, then runs away. Sorensen comes down some steps and takes aim from a walkway as Rick fights his way through the water underneath the waterfall. Sorensen fires a few shots as Rick climbs a sheer wall behind the waterfall. Rick reaches a hatch and pushes a square stone out of the way as another of Sorensen's bullets hits him.
I got him! Got inside this thing somehow!
Yeah.
Joe runs out. Sorensen stalks along a rope bridge while Diggs jogs along a walkway. Diggs goes down a flight of stairs to a lower level. In the booth, Marianne sits up, then notices a revolver stuck to the side of a cabinet. She wrenches the revolver off the cabinet and holds it poised. Joe springs into the booth, holding his gun at the ready. Rick staggers past a cage of apes. The apes get agitated. In other cages are leopards and tigers. Rick pushes buttons on posts, which make hatches slide open in the cages. The animals rush through the hatches.
Come on, fellas. Give me a hand now.
A tiger stalks out of its cage through the hatch. Joe carefully paces across the control booth with his gun at the ready. He lunges through a door into the jungle room, but finds no one there. Joe returns to the booth, closing the door behind him. Marianne was hiding behind the door on the jungle side and listens at the door as Joe lurches out of the control booth. Marianne suddenly realizes she's stuck in the jungle room and can't get back into the booth. She tries pressing numbers on the keypad, but it doesn't work. Below her, Diggs paces along a walkway and hears a noise. Gun at the ready, Diggs slowly walks towards the noise.
Shut up! Get back, get him!
Diggs barges through a door marked No Unauthorized Personnel and finds himself in a stairwell. He cautiously heads down the drab stone stairs.
Shut up, you son of a gun!
Rick sits on a beam above the corridor and looks down as Diggs walks beneath him. Diggs looks into an empty corridor up ahead. Suddenly, Rick swings down from the beam and kicks a barred metal door closed behind Diggs. Rick swings back up onto his beam as Diggs tries to open the door. Diggs creeps towards an open cage. Diggs looks round as two tigers trot up the corridor towards him. He aims his rifle, but it won't fire, so he bolts into the open cage and shuts the door behind him. Diggs looks around and sees a lion in the cage with him. The lion lunges at Diggs and brings him down. In the main jungle room, Sorensen hears the screams. Rick, grimacing from his gunshot wound, drops down off the beam. Marianne backs up against a tree, then spots a large snake slithering right next to her. She runs, then sees Sorensen sprinting across a rope bridge. Marianne ducks behind some large fake rocks, then looks round at a very flimsy-looking narrow rope bridge right next to her. Marianne looks nervous but kicks off her shoes and tentatively steps onto the bridge. The bridge creaks and bows and one of the cords breaks. Sorensen looks around and heads down a flight of stairs. Midway across the bridge, Marianne comes to a dummy of a native.
Excuse me.
Marianne squeezes past the dummy and another dummy falls off but ends up dangling on a long length of rope. Another cord snaps on the bridge. Sorensen runs down the stairwell, then glances inside the lion's cage. His mouth drops open in shock when he sees the horror going on inside. He purses his lips and heads back the way he came. Holding the revolver poised, Marianne reaches the other end of the rope bridge and climbs down to a lower level. A baboon hops down towards her and screams, opening its muzzle-like mouth wide and baring its sharp teeth. Marianne makes to run, then sees some chimps coming at her. She doubles back, dropping her gun. Marianne climbs down a rope. The chimps grab the rope and yank it back and forth. Marianne loses her grip and falls. She bounces off some rocks and ends up in a crumpled heap on the dirt. She grimaces. One of the chimps picks up her revolver and sniffs it. Beside the lake, a large reptile looks around and flicks its tongue out. Rick painfully clambers up onto a ledge. Joe suddenly jumps out and holds his gun to Rick's head.
Surprise! Come on! Hands behind your head, fingers clenched, now! What is that shit? Get him! Fred! Sorensen! I got him! I got Sherman!
What do you need him for, huh? Huh? Why don't you just...
No, buddy. This is his kill. Means a lot to him. Sorensen! Sorensen!
Marianne comes to and the chimp accidentally fires the revolver. With Joe distracted, Rick tackles him and the two men fight. Rick slams Joe's arm against a rock until Joe drops his gun. Joe slams his hand into Rick's bullet wound and Rick falls back. Joe pulls Rick to his feet and kicks and thumps him. As Joe runs at Rick, Rick kicks him back. Joe goes flying off the ledge and falls into a small lagoon. The lagoon is filled with piranhas who are attracted to Joe's struggling. The piranhas swarm at Joe and attack, one of them biting a chunk out of his cheek. Rick rests on a rock and watches as the water turns red. Sorensen appears on an upper walkway and shoots at Rick. Rick runs for cover and Sorensen jumps down after him. The chimp inadvertently fires a few more shots from the revolver and Marianne runs out of the way. She finds herself in a sandy area and a tiger stalks out of a cave behind her. Marianne turns. Marianne runs around the supports of a large wooden structure as the tiger pads towards her. She squeezes into a rough wooden enclosure as the tiger pounces. The tiger pokes its paw through the sticks at Marianne and another tiger arrives on the scene. The two tigers start to fight. Marianne squeezes out of the other side of the wooden enclosure and runs. The tigers bound after Marianne as she runs along a narrow ledge. Marianne quickly pulls off her jacket and throws it off the ledge. One of the tigers jumps after the jacket, while the other one climbs onto another ledge above Marianne. Marianne frantically climbs a rope as both tigers bound up at her and try to reach her. Marianne struggles, but finally manages to make it onto the high ledge. Sorensen suddenly grabs her hand, yanks her up onto the ledge, and holds her roughly.
Robin! I got your lady here. Come on out! I'm gonna throw her to the tigers.
Rick's on a higher ledge.
You're wrong, Rick, if you think I won't do it! Don't you even want to watch? I hate seeing her miss this.
Rick leaps down onto Sorensen, who drops his assault rifle. The rifle hits an electric fence on the ground and a shower of sparks crackles out from it. Sorensen lunges at Rick, who throws him onto the flimsy bridge. Another bridge cord snaps as Rick and Sorensen wrestle with each other. Sorensen punches Rick, and yet another cord snaps. Rick punches Sorensen, and Sorensen shoves his hand into Rick's face, eventually pushing him off the bridge. Rick clings onto the bridge, while below him the tigers attack the dummy of the native. The final cord snaps and the bridge breaks in two. Rick and Sorensen hang onto their half of the bridge as it swings them across the jungle room. They slam into a wall and Sorensen kicks down at Rick with an evil grin on his face.
15 years! 15 years! I've waited for this!
Rick punches up at Sorensen, while Marianne comes to on the ledge. Sorensen kicks Rick, who can barely hang on to the bridge. Rick notices that the frayed end of the bridge occasionally brushes the electric fence, causing sparks and a quick burst of power to shoot up the bridge. Rick grabs onto Sorensen's leg, then swings the bridge over the fence. A blast of electricity surges up the bridge and pumps into Sorensen, who screams. Sorensen shakes as the power surges through him. Rick also shakes with the voltage as he hangs on to Sorensen's leg. Sorensen loses his grip on the ladder and falls backwards onto the electric fence. A vulture flies over to Sorensen's twisting and sparking body. Rick's also lost his grip on the ladder, but his foot gets hooked and he dangles upside down. Marianne hangs onto a vine and reaches out to Rick.
Rick! It's me! It's me! Take my hand! Rick!
He seems barely conscious.
Rick! Rick!
He comes to.
Rick! Please!
He can't reach her and drops a little.
Rick!
Their fingers touch for a moment, then Rick swings away again. He swings back and they manage to link their fingers.
Rick! Rick, I can't hold on!
You can, come on, honey, you can do it. Just, come on, you just pull me toward you.
I'm sorry, I can't get you up.
Yeah, me too. Listen, I'm free now, I could marry you.
You liar, you wouldn't marry me.
I could. If you just put a little extra effort in. Shit, instead of just standing there watching the father and children become tiger meat.
Children?
With an almighty effort, Marianne pulls Rick onto the ledge with her, and they both tumble onto a lower level.
Rick! Rick! Are you all right, honey? Are you all right?
He comes too.
Who are you?
Rick! Look at me.
Yeah.
I'm Marianne. Remember we were going to get married and have children? Remember?
I'm pleased to meet you, Marianne.
Rick can't hold in his grin anymore, and Marianne hits him.
You dirty rat! What are you going to try to weasel out of this one? You're not going to weasel out of this one, right? I'm going to sue you for a breach of promise.
What are you going to sue me? I haven't got any money. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I want you.
They fight lightheartedly. Rick and Marianne are relaxing on a yacht, gliding across a beautiful sun-dappled ocean.
Yeah, for a second, Captain, I want to show you.
Come on, get up. Come on, get your lazy ass off.
Rick sets about raising the yacht's sail.
You've heard that expression, something old, something new, something borrowed, and something...
The sail reads, Mr. Wiggly.
Mr. Wiggly is unfurled. And if that's not a hint, what is?
Like a bird.
They kiss lovingly as the yacht bobs on the calm water.
Like a drunk in a midnight quiet, I have tried in my...
ITFC audio description.
Like a fish.